Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Dr. Don Kettle, author of the IBM Center Report, Managing Risk, Improving Results, Lessons for Improving Government Management from GAO's High Risk List. Also joining us from IBM is Lisa Bascola. So now I'd like to use this segment to sort of peel back the onion, so to speak, on your four strategies. The first strategy calls for developing a plan of action, which you mentioned in the previous segment around leadership. Would you tell us more about this strategy? And perhaps you could highlight a few illustrations from GAO's analysis.
Sure. What's really important here is that if you're going to make something happen, that what you need is not only a plan for top officials, but it has to be something that's carried through and carried throughout the agency. The way in which the IRS's information systems improved happened because people at the top decided that they had to transform the system. They developed a plan for doing that. They had consistent leadership and then worked through officials throughout the procurement process, throughout the agency, to be able to make this happen. You don't implement a new information technology system with relatively few hiccups without having an entire chain from top to bottom involved in it. It's worth looking at NASA, which, if you think about it, is a fascinating challenge, an agency that is struggling now for its budget, that is redefining its mission, but which is regularly rated by the Partnership for Public Service, among others, as the best place to work in the federal government. I mean, how does that happen? And it happens because leaders at the top instill a sense of mission in the people who work for it from top to bottom. How would you know? I mean, I had a long conversation with a guy who is a genuine rocket scientist, who is about a 32-year-old, came from Puerto Rico, who's in charge of phototelemetry, interpreting satellites and what it is that they tell us about climate change. And that's something that he does, he's excited about, and which he does because of the leadership that's created from the top. That's a pretty impressive set of connections into why it is that NASA is viewed as such a great place to work, because he gets a chance to do that thanks to the leadership from the people who provide the opportunities for him to be able to do what he's doing.
Strategy two focuses on the importance of communication. Would you elaborate on the core elements of this strategy and highlight programs that have employed the strategy to good effect?
And here we have a system where what really matters is that you need communication, not only communication, but communication with stakeholders out there. And we have a case here, for example, if you look at some of the improvements that Medicare and Medicaid are involved in, they are working very carefully, not only with state shareholders and stakeholders on this, but also in a strategy to try to connect with contractors who are out there in charge of managing the program. There, for example, is a measurement system that exists to try to track the quality of care provided through Medicare and Medicaid. And the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services run an annual conference where they bring people in from all across the country. And among other things, they give awards to state people who are actually doing a great job in tracking the quality of care that people who live in their states receive. If you think about that as a partnership where the federal government convenes people to talk about what it is that they all share, providing high-quality care, recognize stakeholders, in this case, state government agencies who are in charge of doing that, and have a chance to showcase that for other states struggling with the same kinds of problems, that's a remarkable system of communication that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has done, and that's part of their own effort to try to get off the high-risk list themselves.
The third strategy focuses on enhancing governance. Could you elaborate on this strategy a little bit and maybe talk about a couple of cases there?
And in this case, it has to do with governance, and that has to be understood in a broad sense, because governance these days is not only leadership at the top, which we spent some time talking about, and creating new structures in addition, but it has to do with creating processes and better technology. To go back to the challenge of trying to make sure that the Bureau of Land Management actually extracts from oil drillers and gas producers the royalties that they owe from extracting gas and oil from federal properties, they've done two things. One is that they've hired some more employees to be able to do the job, and this sounds pretty straightforward, but turns out to be very hard to do in practice. They've developed new accounting systems backed by technology, so they can track how much oil and gas the private producers are actually withdrawing from federal land. We don't want to have lots of extra federal bureaucrats out there running around snooping into every oil well that exists. I mean, that would be unthinkable. It couldn't happen. Wouldn't work very well. But what they've done is they've developed new systems of technology to be able to track how much oil and gas is actually being withdrawn from federal lands. And then that plus having some additional federal employees has allowed the Bureau of Land Management to do a better job of being able to track how much is being taken out, how much in the way of royalties are owed, and then being able to collect that money for federal taxpayers. So that means that either we get a little bit more of what it is we want from government without having to pay higher taxes, or maybe our taxes are lower than they would be otherwise. In either case, it's the direct result of improvements in governance that have to do with some pretty straightforward but also pretty sophisticated systems of being able to make sure that works better.
Yeah, it gets right into the fourth strategy we're talking about, Don, which is in your report, which is the focus on resources. Could you tell us more about that strategy and perhaps highlight some how important is it to have the right amount of amount of resources to tackle a problem?
And the answer on the one hand, of course, is, I mean, what could be more important than having the resources that you need? But on the other hand, one of the things that we know is that first, I mean, nobody wants to pay more taxes. Trying to extract more money from Congress to do anything is a tough battle. That there's a lot you could actually do without having more money. And so asking for more cash ought to be the last resort and not the first. And one of the important findings of my report and my analysis here is that you can go a really, really, really long way down the road toward making government work better without having to ask for another nickel. Mm-hmm. You can have vast improvements by management improvements that you can impose along the way. But at some point, you can only go so far down that road. It's like having a great car and you're kind of trying to drive across the country. And at some point, if you don't put more gas in the tank, you're going to run out and you're not going to get to where you want to go. And that's the case, for example, when it comes to the satellite problem. The weather satellite issue that we have is something that, on the one hand, is absolutely critical. You don't want to have a storm coming in and you miss by 50 miles in landfall. Could be the difference between a relatively unpopulated area and a major city. You don't want to make that mistake, especially if you have to decide whether or not you need to evacuate that city or not. It turns out that our satellite coverage is thin, that the satellites are old, they need to be replaced, and they need to be replaced fast, and you can't do it in a hurry, so that you need to figure out what the cycle is. You don't want to over-satellite yourself either on top of that. So the question is, at what stage do you need which investments? That's something that's pretty sophisticated. So we need more investment in that. And that's the case clearly where it's needed. But on the other hand, it turns out that the people who run these satellites are pretty smart. And up to a point, they can reposition satellites, get better pictures, and reinforce the information that they're getting by being able to use their smarts. So not every problem requires expenditures of lots of money, but at some point, some of these problems to be solved inevitably require more cash. And it's the ability of smart managers to be able to help both make the case for doing that and explain why it is that it's ultimately going to matter.
You note that these strategies aren't just suited to getting programs off the list. How can they keep programs from getting on the list in the first place? And do they represent an effective management strategy for agencies?
One of the things that is worth thinking about is if you believe even half of what it is we've been talking about today, and suppose you're a new administration coming in, there are a couple things that you know. One is that nobody's going to applaud you for doing a great job, but one of the quickest ways to take the elevator to the basement in terms of your polls is to have major problems occur in programs that people care about. Make it look like you're not in control, having big waste, fraud, and abuse stories. So what this really suggests is that there may be some things that you really need to pay more attention to than others. It's hard to get presidents to pay attention to management. There are public opinion polls. There are negotiations with foreign countries. There are big battles over what to do with Congress. And no matter who wins, there's going to be a battle with Congress. We know that for sure. But one of the things that we should learn by this point is that major problems in management are death to presidents. the place where the negatives for George W. Bush exceeded the positives and never recovered occurred not after mission accomplished in Iraq or any of the other problems, occurred after Hurricane Katrina. He never recovered from that. When the administration, the Obama administration launched the Affordable Care Act and had the gargantuan problems with the website, almost exactly the same thing happened at almost exactly the same point. And only by incredible administrative energy were they able to pull themselves back from the brink, both in terms of management, but also in terms of the political polling. But they saw themselves going down the same hole. The same thing will happen for sure with the next administration unless they pay attention. But you can't pay attention to everything. If you're a president, you may not want to pay attention to anything when it comes to management. So if you ask yourself, what do I need really to pay attention to and what do I need to make sure my people pay attention to? The thing that's important here is that there is a checklist here that says that if you pay attention to the boundary spanning piece, you get the performance metrics right, you think about the information systems, think about financial management, you think about the skill sets, and most of these are things that presidents don't like to pay much attention to. But if somebody at the center does, and you create efforts across the government, both with the appointees that you put in place and the systems that you create, your odds of being able to escape these problems vastly improve. And that, I think, is pretty important. We tend not often to pay much attention to these things, but the one thing we can predict is that the next president's going to need to come in. It's now fashionable to have a management agenda, and it's the kind of thing that people criticize the new president for not doing if a new president doesn't. So what should the management agenda consist of? And it turns out that the lessons that the high-risk list teaches provide a kind of guidepost for what it is that the next administration needs to do, and by doing it, not only improve the odds that the most troubled programs in the government can be improved, but that government in general will work better. And that, I think, is a pretty good thing.
Thank you for joining us today, Don. It was a real pleasure having you in.
It was such a pleasure having a chance to be able to talk. Thank you.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Dr. Don Kettle, author of the IBM Center Report, Managing Risk, Improving Results, Lessons for Improving Government Management from GAO's High Risk List. This report builds on several reports that the Center has released over the last 3 years on the topic of risk management in government. You may order or download a free copy of this and any other IBM Center reports at businessofgovernment.org. My co-host today from IBM has been Lisa Muscola. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.